Well, thank you for joining us this morning. You're about to hear from Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find us online at SharonBaptistConcord.com. He's going to speak about the Holy Spirit today. Now, we know a lot about God, we know a lot about Jesus, but what about the Holy Spirit? Did you know that the Holy Spirit is actually a gift that God gives us to help us fix our ways? Meaning, if we come to Christ, we're given the Holy Spirit that'll help sharpen our conscience and make us realize that we are completely whack in our thinking sometimes. And we need to fix it. God needs to break us. Kind of like they do in the military. They break the people down and they start them from a firm, strong foundation. And they get them ready for what they need them to be ready for. Well, God wants to get us ready for what He wants to get us ready for, and He uses the Holy Spirit to do that. Don't know much about the Holy Spirit? Listen in as Pastor James Strickland explains all about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this message. Of course, you can find us online and listen to more sermons and listen to more audio on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. And don't forget about our winter festival coming up on December 21st. That's the Saturday right before Christmas. We're going to have another free yard sale, meaning everything's going to be free. And of course, we're going to have a winter festival too. Hopefully the weather will be great and we can get some bounce houses up, maybe have some more cotton candy and popcorn, maybe some hot cocoa. Who knows how cold it will be? But that's December 21st, right before Christmas. That's a Saturday before Christmas from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Check out more details on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Here's Pastor James Strickland in the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
You know how you make it one day at a time? It's all by grace. It's all by grace. That's the way you make it. Turn, please, with us in the book of Acts, chapter number 1. I'm going to read verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Hope you memorize this verse. If you haven't, maybe after tonight, you'll commit this verse to your memory. Very important verse. Of course, all the Word of God is important, very important, but this is a verse that we need to keep in our hearts, on our minds, in our memories to be able to quote it and apply it to ourselves. Acts 1, 8. These are the words of our Lord Jesus on the day He ascended back into heaven. As He met there in Jerusalem with the disciples, He was about to go up into heaven, and He said these words to them, "But ye shall receive power after," now notice that, not before, "after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That verse just really sets the stage for what we do with Southern Baptists. We're about to enter in this month into our home and foreign missions, rather. Our foreign missions emphasis on giving to send the gospel to the other part of the world. So we do home missions, that's Jerusalem. We do state missions, that's Samaria. And then we go to the worldwide missions and to the uttermost part of the earth. So that verse really has been a, you might say, a command to us, but just a encouragement to Southern Baptists that we might reach all the people in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But tonight, I want to share from this verse the theme of the power that we have to live the Christian life, as Cheryl has sung, one day at a time. That's all you can do is live life one day at a time, isn't it? Can't live yesterday, it's gone. May not see tomorrow, I may not, you may not. But today is the only day we have. So it's important for us to live the Christian life one day at a time. As Jesus assembled with these disciples and was going back to heaven, if anybody ever needed to hear this verse, it was those disciples who gathered with Jesus on that mountainside on the day He ascended back into heaven. Why would you say that, preacher? Because, listen, here they stand now. Just kind of picture them if you can. Here they stand, and they witnessed Jesus going back into heaven. And they were left a huge responsibility, a huge charge to witness for Him, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. I'm sure all they could sense was, now Jesus is going back to heaven, and oh my goodness, how inadequate we are to face the challenge of reaching the people of the world with the gospel. All they could sense was their inadequacy. What a charge was laid upon these men. But you know something? We're not that much different than they. The same charge He gave them is the same charge we have. He says in the Great Commission, go into all the world, make disciples of all men, and teach them to observe what I've told you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them. So we, in essence, have the same responsibility that they had, don't we, as a church? But now listen, they didn't have any idea what they were about to face. But they knew they felt inadequate to meet that challenge. And we don't know what it is that we're going to have to face tomorrow, do we? And don't we sense almost the same inadequacy to meet the challenge, to meet the very commission that Jesus has laid upon us as He laid upon them here in Acts 1:8? Listen, we need the power that they had in the first century. Now, the Lord Jesus gave them power, and He gives the church power today through the Great Commission command. So we need the same power that they needed to do the work that God called them to do. We need the same power today to do what it is, the same work that He called them to do, He called us to do. We need the same power. Now, He said, you'll receive that power. It's a promise of God. You'll receive that power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So that gives me, you see, the catchphrase, you might say, for this verse. He tells us what it is we're supposed to do, and then He tells us how it is that we're going to get it done. It's through the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, He said, you will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So, how important was it to them to receive the power of the Holy Ghost? Extremely important. So how important is it for us today to receive the power of the Spirit of God? It's extremely important. So it all comes to us, you see, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost of God. Now, I want to share some things about His ministry, because it's the ministry of the Spirit of God Himself through the church, through your life, through my life, and through their lives in that day, that the work of God gets done. How important it is, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this verse and look at some things about the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you something, a little joke a little bit later, but this is serious business here. First of all, look with me at the personality that is really portrayed here. It's the Holy Ghost. He said, you shall receive that power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now listen, as Southern Baptists, as Christians, we're very strong in our belief in God the Father, aren't we? We're just equally as strong in our belief in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, aren't we? And we do believe that the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity of God, don't we? But so many times we live in such a way that we don't even hardly realize in a practical way the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. In essence, we're sort of like sometimes like those in Ephesus, those Ephesians, when they asked them the question, have you received the Holy Ghost? What did they say? Well, we hadn't even heard that there was a Holy Ghost. We're almost sometimes to that point today in the local church concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you a true story. It's kind of funny, but it's not funny in a way. Pastor friend of mine, Jimmy Upton, he's been here and preached for us. Some of you remember him. He was preaching revival somewhere way up in the mountains. And each night, the ladies of that church had a friend of theirs who they wanted to come to church and wanted to see her come to know the Lord Jesus. She was a big lady. So she came one night, and as Jimmy said, as I preached and gave the invitation, she stepped out and she came forward to the altar. And her friends were so excited. They came up, rushing up with her, and they crowded around her, put their arms around her, and they were praying for her. And Jimmy said, I heard that lady say, Holy Ghost or no Holy Ghost, I got to have some R. So it's kind of funny, but it's the truth nonetheless. We act sometimes like the Holy Ghost doesn't even exist. But He does. He really does. He's a third person. He's a personality. I want to show you something about Him. How you can know. Now, there are other denominations, cults, I call them, that don't even believe that the Holy Ghost is a God Himself in the Spirit. But let me show you why the Scriptures teach us that He's just as real, because He's just as much God as Jesus is God. He's just as much God as God the Father is God. He's God in His totality. Because God is a spirit. Doesn't the Bible teach us that? And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let me show you some things about the Holy Ghost, this person. Look at the titles that He wears. Now, if you'll go back and study when you have some time on your hands, go back and study John chapters 14 and John chapter 16, because those two chapters are going to bear out what I'm going to share some things here. Don't we believe, or do we believe, let me ask it that way, do we believe that the Holy Ghost carries all the capabilities of God the Father and God the Son? Do we believe that? If you don't, you should believe that, because He does. He carries all the powers of God the Father and God the Son. He carries all the capabilities. He carries all the dignities of God. We believe that, don't we? The distinct title that Jesus gave the Holy Ghost in John chapters 14 and John chapter 16, He calls Him the Comforter. In the Greek word, that's the word paraclete. That means one of the same divine essence as I am. Listen, sometimes the word paraclete or comforter is translated as the advocate, the strengthener, the counselor. Jesus said to these disciples, "The Father and I have arranged that when I go back to heaven, I'm going to send you another comforter, another paraclete, one of the same divine essence as I am." What He's saying to them and saying to us is this: I'm sending God the Spirit to not only be with you, but to be in you. He'll be with you personally. He'll be with the church collectively. That's His title. I've arranged it. I'm the first comforter, Jesus said, and I'm going to send you another comforter just like me. In fact, it's going to be me in the Spirit. He'll be with you. He'll be in you. Now listen, that's some of the titles that He wears. Look at something else about the Holy Ghost. The tasks that He is communing and doing in this world, the task that He has committed to Himself, also in John 16, John 14, you read those verses, those chapters, you'll find it. He comes in this world to do three particular things. He first of all comes in this world to convince the world of sin. Listen, only a divine personality can convince the world of sin. That's His first task. But a second task the Spirit of God has, He's not only a convincer, He's a director. He says, Jesus said, He'll guide you into all truth. Listen, it takes a personal function of a person to be a guide. Don't you see that? Don't you agree with that? And He's also not only a convincer of sin, He's not only a director, He'll guide us, He's a revealer. Jesus said, He'll take the things of Me and He'll show them unto you. All these tasks glorify God. So if the Holy Ghost is not a person, then how can all these things take place? Those who say the Holy Ghost is not real, He's just a force, He's just a wind. Listen, a force or a wind cannot convict somebody of sin. A force or a wind cannot direct or guide your life. A force or a wind cannot reveal the things of God unto us, can it? So then you know the Holy Ghost is a real person. But I want you to see something else. Not just His titles, not just the task that He has to do. I want you to see the treatment that the Holy Ghost can receive. Listen, if you could just stop and think for a few moments, the offenses that people level against the Holy Spirit of God, He can be vexed, the Bible says. He can be quenched. He can be blasphemed. He can be resisted. And also, He can be grieved. These treatments could not be leveled at a force or a wind. It has to be a person. A person can be grieved. A wind cannot. These treatments could no one level against a wind or a force or an energy. So Jesus said, I am presenting to you, when I go away, I'm presenting to you God the Holy Ghost. God in you personally. God in the church collectively. Listen, if we're going to ever have the power today that the early disciples had in that day, we're going to have the power of the Holy Ghost in us like they had in them in that day. We've got to learn to magnify the ministry of the Holy Ghost. We've got to learn to recognize the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the personality of the Holy Spirit of God, the deity and dignity of the Holy Ghost. So you see the person here who is revealed to us in this verse, it's the Holy Ghost. He's presented to us here as God Himself in the Spirit. But look at something else. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you to be in you, but you're going to receive power after this Holy Ghost is coming into your life. It's a twofold power that He promises here, and I want you to see that with me. First of all, you're going to receive the power for Christ-likeness. The Holy Ghost has never, the Holy Ghost will never embarrass you. He's not here to embarrass Jesus or take the precedence over anything else. His ministry in this world is to magnify and glorify the blessed Son of God. Listen, the Holy Ghost was in them with power. And I'm telling you something, people have missed this today. People think, and some think, that you get the Holy Ghost power so you can just perform miracles and everybody see just how holy you really are. Listen, that's not the reason the Holy Ghost was given to these men. Now, they had power. Don't misunderstand me. God gave them power to heal lepers, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to defend the Lord Jesus and His Word. They had all kinds of power. But Jesus said, listen, don't you rejoice in the power that I'm giving you. It's not about you. He said, you rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. It's not to draw attention to us. It's the power of God to help us be Christ-like. Well, to be Christ-like in our moods, in our attitudes, our actions, and our manners, and our spirit. So the Holy Ghost's power is, first of all, to help us be Christ-like. It's a power to be Christ-like, but it's also given us the power to be cooperative. King David prayed. He said, God, unite my heart to fear Thy name. Bring me near in cooperation in this conflict in my soul. You see, beloved, God wants to bring us to the place where we can say, like the Apostle Paul, Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting all those things which are past, reaching forward all those things which are above and are in the future. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He prayed for power to be Christ-like. He prayed for power to be in cooperation with God the Father and God the Son. Listen, if people today, it doesn't matter who it is, if you and I, anybody, if we're living a divided allegiance, you've got a strife on your hands that's way too great for you to handle or for me to handle. We must turn the whole thing over to the ministry of the Holy Ghost and His leadership in our lives. I'm afraid that Southern Baptists have a lot to learn about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He's not to embarrass us in any kind of way. It's to make us Christ-like and cooperate with the power of God in us. But a third thing I want you to see, not just the fact that the person of the Holy Ghost is presented here, not just that He's going to give us power, but there's a purpose behind and why God the Father, God the Son, sent God the Spirit to indwell us in the personality of the Spirit and in the church as well. There's a purpose behind it all. Why does God do this? Bring us to a personal realization of the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Why does He do that? You've got to remember, the Holy Ghost is God omnipresent. He's here. He's God omniscient. He knows everything. He's God omnipotent. He can do anything. Listen, He's able to do more, and He's above anything you could ever just encounter in your whole life. He's more than a match for anything you'll ever face in this life and more. Being a witness for Him, you shall be witnesses unto me. That is the purpose behind it all. That we will be like they were, witnesses unto Jesus. Not unto the church, not unto the preacher, not unto the singers, but we'll be witnesses unto Him, the Lord Jesus. Everything the Spirit of God does is to magnify Jesus and lift up Jesus and present Him as the only Savior. We're to magnify Him in two ways. First of all, by our lips. The New Testament is full of vocalized Christians telling what God in Christ has done in their lives. Full of vocalized Christians. God uses our tongues, speaks through our lips. And I've had people over the years tell me this, "Well, preacher, I can't talk to people, but I just live the Christian life. I can't witness, but I can't talk, but I just live the Christian life before people that they can see Jesus in me." Let me share something that's wrong with that kind of thought. Just suppose you take on the attitude that you can just live for Jesus and everybody recognize the Holy Ghost in you and recognize you're a child of God. Listen, they may see that you live right, but if you don't tell them where you get the power to live like you're living, I'm afraid you're going to get the credit and not Jesus. And He deserves the credit. He deserves the honor. He deserves the praise. Not me, not you, not anybody else. And the Holy Spirit of God will never, ever take the credit away from our precious Lord Jesus Christ. So it's by our lips. We've got to tell others about Jesus. Where we get the power in our lives to live for Jesus. And then also, of course, by our life. We should witness also by our life in a quiet, humble way that always focuses upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This will show forth, you see, not how holy we are. Like some folks try to project the fact that, oh, you know, we've got the Holy Ghost. We've got something you don't have. We're super spiritual. Y'all folks don't have that over at the Baptist Church. Let me share something with you. It's not to show folks how holy we are. It's to show folks how glorifying, how satisfying is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So is there a secret to all this? This personality of the Holy Ghost? This power of the Holy Ghost? This purpose of the Holy Ghost? And is there something to it? Yes, there is. It's the secret of reception. Did you miss that in that verse? Jesus told them, Jesus tells us, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So you see, there's got to be some receiving in our lives of that power of the Spirit of God. You shall receive power. That is a definite receiving. This runs contrary, you know, to most of our opinions, most of our way of doing things. We're not by nature, we're not receivers. We're the ones who want to do things. We want to get things done. We want to achieve things. But the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't get it any other way except receiving it. You shall receive power, He says. How do we achieve this power? You got to come to your life and I have to come to my life. To a place of absolute brokenness. Search out the Scriptures, would you? Check it to see for yourself. God never uses anybody in a great way till He has to break them. He broke David. He broke Elijah. He broke Moses. Abraham. Paul. Just example after example after example all through the Word of God. God has to break us to come to a point of brokenness to receive the leadership and the lordship of the Holy Ghost of God to come into us, and then that's how the power comes. Not by our will, but by trusting in Him. In receiving the power of the Holy Ghost that God through the Spirit releases in our lives. You see, we have to allow God through the Spirit to establish His total lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. And then the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God can do through us what He wants to do, so that our lives and so that our church, any church that's a real church, can magnify Jesus, glorify Jesus, and we do it through the leadership and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So listen, don't you ever be afraid of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He's not here to embarrass you. He's not here to make you say something or do something that would be contrary to what the Lord's will for your life would be. He's here to help us, to make us more Christ-like, make us more cooperative in the will of God for our lives. That's what He's here for. I want Him to do in my life, don't you? All that He wants to do to give Jesus the honor and glory and praise here that He deserves, so that when I stand before Him in the other side one day, I'll hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of your Lord." You see, the Spirit of God Himself is the agent through whom salvation is given to you and to me. Where would we be without the ministry of the Holy Ghost? I tell you where we'd be. We'd be without God. He's just as much God as the Son, just as much God as the Father, the Spirit. So welcome Him, won't you, into your heart, into your life. Let Him do with your life what He wants to do. And I promise you, we'll never be sorry that we did. Not here or hereafter. Amen. Let's stand together. And Lord, I know that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, He came to do those three things: to be a convincer, to be a guide, to be a convictor, to be a guide. Heavenly Father, we ask that You might help us as He reveals the things of Jesus to us. Help us to be like David. Help us to be cooperative. Help us to be yielded. Help us to be broken, Lord, to a point that You can use us through Your Spirit's ministry. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and to His glory and to His honor we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining this message today by Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find us online at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Now, we'd love to have you come visit us for services sometime. We're located at 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, North Carolina. Actually, we're on the Kannapolis side of I-85 near Winecoff Elementary School. If you wanted to come visit us for services, our Sunday morning services are at 10:45 a.m. Our Sunday evening services are at 6 p.m. Our Wednesday evening services are at 7 p.m. And of course, Sunday school is always 9:45 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can find out more, of course, at SharonBaptistConcord.com. You can also listen to other sermons, watch sermon video, find out more about us, and also find out about our winter festival. Our festival is coming up December 21st. That's the Saturday right before Christmas. We're going to have another free yard sale, meaning everything's going to be free. And of course, if it's warm enough, we're going to have bounce houses and probably hot cocoa. I don't know what else we'll have out there. It just depends on the weather. But our winter festival is a Saturday right before Christmas, December 21st, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Bring your whole family out there and join us for the fun. Now, if you listen to the message today about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you should realize that the Holy Spirit, God, has to break you to be able to be used. And that is part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if you're not getting broken yet, if you're not getting tugged and pulled on your conscience, that you know you've got to fix some things. You've got to give up your sin. It's pretty simple. Either you're a Christian and you're going to give up your sin and be a Christian, or you're going to pretend you're a Christian and you're still going to keep sinning and keep sinning and just, oh, everything's just fine. I don't think that's what the Bible states. I'm sure you can read many times that that is not what the Bible states you're supposed to do. So anyway, if you need to re-listen to it, this message is available on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Hope to see you on the 21st, December 21st, which is our winter festival from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the Saturday right before Thanksgiving for our free yard sale and festival. We'll see you here next week. God bless you.